The Invisible Man by H.G. Wells. Chapter 25, The Hunting of the Invisible Man. For a space, Kemp was too inarticulate to make Addie understand the swift things that had just happened. They stood on the landing, Kemp speaking swiftly, the grotesque swathings of Griffin still on his arm. But presently, Addie began to grasp something of the situation. "He's mad," said Kemp. "Inhuman. He is pure selfishness. He thinks nothing but his own advantage, his own safety. I have listened to such a story this morning, of brutal self-seeking. He is wounded men. He will kill them unless we can prevent him. He will create a panic. Nothing can stop him. He's going out now, furious."
"He must be caught," said Addie. "That is certain."
"But how?" cried Kemp, suddenly became full of ideas. "You must begin at once. You must set every available man to work. You must prevent his leaving this district. Once he gets away, he may go roaming through the countryside as he wills, killing and maiming. He dreams of a reign of terror. A reign of terror, I tell you. You must set a watch on trains and roads and shipping. The garrison must help. You must wire for help. The only thing that may keep him here is the thought of recovering some of the books and notes he counts of value. I will tell you that. There's a man in your police station. Marvel."
"I know," said Eddie. "I know of these books, yes. But the tramp..."
"Says he hasn't them, but he thinks the tramp has, and you must prevent him from eating or sleeping. Day and night the country must be astir for him. Food must be locked up and secured, all food, so that we have to break his way to it. The houses everywhere must be barred against him. Heaven send us cold nights and rain. The whole countryside must be hunting and keep hunting. I tell you, Addie, he's a danger, a disaster, unless he's pinned and secured. It is frightful to think of the things that may happen."
"Well, what else can we do?" said Eddie. "I must go down at once and begin organizing. But why not come? Yes, you come too. Come, and we must hold a sort of council of war. Get Hops to help. The railway manager, by Jove, it's urgent. Come along. Tell me as we go. What else there is we can do? Put that stuff down."
In another moment, Eddie was leading his way downstairs. They found the front door open and the policeman standing outside staring at empty air.
"We got away, sir," said one.
"He must go down to the central station at once," said Eddie. "One of you go down and get a cab to come up and meet us quickly. And now, Kemp, what else?"
"Dogs," said Kemp. "Get dogs. They don't see him, but they wind him. Get dogs."
"Good," said Eddie. "It's not generally known, but the prisoner officials over at Halstead know a man with bloodhounds' dogs. What else?"
"Bear in mind," said Kemp, "his food shows. After eating, his food shows until it's assimilated, so that he has to hide after eating. You must keep on beating every thicket, every quiet corner. Put all weapons, all implements that might be weapons away. He can't carry such things for long, and what he can snatch up and strike men with must be hidden away."
"Good again," said Eddie. "We shall have him yet."
"And on the roads," said Kemp, and hesitated.
"Yes?"
said Eddie. "Powdered glass. It's cruel, I know, but think of what he may do."
Eddie drew in the air sharply between his teeth. "It's unsportsmanlike. I don't know, but I'll have powdered rest got ready. If he goes too far..."
"The man's become inhuman, I tell you," said Kemp. "I'm as sure he will establish a reign of terror, so soon as he got over the emotions of his escape. As I'm sure I'm talking to you, our only chance is to be ahead. He's cut himself off from his kind. His blood be upon his own head."
End of chapter 25. Read by David Russell. For Lit2Go. Available on the web at fcit.usf.edu.